Welcome to the Pulse That Moves the Triangle World Today. This one-size-fits-all broadcast is a vibrant collection of stories, medical breakthroughs, helpful tips, what's trending, events, and boundless other adventures. It's a conversation pit of comedians, politicians, authors, chefs, sports figures, experts, the common and the uncommon. Here's the host of Triangle 411, Mary Innsbrucker.
Hi friends, I hope you're doing well and staying safe. Triangle 411 always produces high quality podcasts. However, due to COVID-19 social distancing, we are not bringing folks in to do the interviews, so we apologize in advance for any poor phone line quality. You know, I just love America. We rise to all occasions, and we are well primed at necessity being the mother of invention. There's a lot of repurposing going on through this COVID-19 ordeal. Industrial companies are making face masks and luxury hotels are becoming quarantine centers. In fact, the American Craft Spirits Association said that 75%, that's 75% of its small distillery members are now making alcohol for disinfecting use following recipes provided by the federal government. Not content to just stand by and see how things pan out, a local company has decided to repurpose their 30,000-member weekly newsletter to help nonprofits. Today we have with us Travis Wright Coapi, who is the executive director of Fit and Able Productions. Fit and Able is a Cary 501c3 nonprofit organization that builds healthier communities through organizing events, programs, and activities that welcome athletes of any age, ability, or skill level to participate. In addition to supporting its own programming, Fit and Able invites other local nonprofit organizations to take part in its 25-plus annual events to raise funds and awareness for their charitable missions. That's just absolutely wonderful. Welcome, Travis.
Hey, Mary. Thanks for having us on your show.
I would love for you to tell us about your goals for Fit and Able's newsletter, keeping folks focused on the nonprofit world.
Yeah, of course. As you noted, you know, we've all seen this growing trend in companies repurposing production lines or, you know, what their staff is doing. As you also noted, we're an event production company. So with social distancing policies, our regular activities are obviously suspended for the time being, and we can't really repurpose those to meet a more immediate need. But as you also mentioned, that we're a nonprofit that serves other nonprofits. And so while we can't currently use our events as a platform for assisting those organizations, that doesn't mean we're completely out of options for how we can help them out. So what we could do is repurpose our weekly newsletter that we send out every Sunday afternoon to everyone on our distribution list who's done any of our events or programs or any of our participated in any of our other activities. And these are usually people who are, you know, really engaged in the community, like enjoy helping local charitable initiatives. And so we repurposed our newsletter to not just stay engaged with our Fit and Able community during this time, but to also hopefully assist many of the other nonprofit organizations that we work with or who normally benefit from our events. So as such, instead of promoting and highlighting one of our upcoming events each Sunday for the next several weeks, we will be promoting and highlighting the ongoing effort to some of our favorite local charities as they work hard to continue meeting these community needs while also contending with the current health crisis. So our newsletter reaches about 30,000 people, mostly in the Triangle. And so basically what we're asking members of this community is if they're able to consider lending a hand to one or more of these organizations, if possible. And we certainly understand that with the growing concerns and insecurities around the economy, many people may not feel that they're able to make donations right now. But on the other side of the coin is that those same economic concerns will only put greater demand on these services that many of these organizations are providing.
Well, that's a wonderful to get that out there. I know you plan to spotlight several nonprofits in the newsletter. Tell us about a few of them, will you?
Yeah, certainly. So I got a couple here that could really use on the financial support side. Of course, we have the Caring Place, who teaches homeless working families with children those kind of life skills for attaining independent living, while also providing some short-term housing and support services. And, you know, to date, they've worked with over 400 families to break the cycle of poverty. And they currently have 8 families in apartments or townhomes that they own. And unfortunately, in response to the coronavirus, the Caring Place has had to temporarily suspend accepting donated items because they've closed their offices to protect staff and volunteers. And they've also unfortunately had to postpone their April benefit until August, which leaves them a pretty big funding gap. So they can definitely use a financial hand at this point. Another of ours is A New Lease on Life. This is part of the Triangle Apartment Association. A New Lease on Life helps those who are experiencing homelessness get back on their feet through stable housing through local nonprofit agencies, and also by providing apartments at reduced rates for a certain period. As many of your listeners know, stable and affordable housing was already a major and still growing issue in our community even before the current health crisis. And so with these mounting economic pressures and people being laid off or furloughed, A New Lease on Life is really providing the service that will be increasingly in demand, you know, over the next few months. Finally, I think we have the Wake County SPCA. I think everyone's pretty familiar with what the SPCA does, but you know, they're also very heavily impacted. Just this morning, they updated how they're responding to the coronavirus situation and changing their activities. So they closed their facilities until the end of April, and they're suspending all pet adoption appointments. But their staff is still there working hard to provide the top-level care to pets at their facility. And more unfortunately, they've lost 2 of their big fundraising events, which has left them a fundraising gap of $250,000 or more that goes to support pets and people in the community. So they're really in a spot where they're needing help at this time to help cover the cost of providing that care. Other organizations that we work with, such as the Triangle Aphasia Project, they closed their offices and suspended in-person programming and services, but are working hard to roll out online services to continue meeting those needs as best they can.
Well, I like to hear that in some cases, events are being postponed rather than canceled, and hopefully timing will work out so you know, we can really fill some of these huge gaps.
Yeah, it's definitely a big kind of wait and see. You know, Carrie just extended their kind of social distancing, close all facilities policy through April. You know, it's hopefully things will improve as it gets warmer out, based on kind of what many people are saying can affect the spread of the coronavirus. So hopefully by the summer. But, you know, there's still some, again, one other organization that's, you know, still trying to go strong, you know, Dorcas. They've closed their reception areas, but they're still accepting food through one of their doors because the school's closed. Their food pantries have more than doubled the demand. And so they're still trying to work through some of those. But, yeah, you're right. With the events, it's always a tough call. We've had to move or postpone all of our events through April, through May. And some of those have been canceled. Some of them have just been postponed. It's definitely a tough time for event companies or organizations that rely on events for their fundraising to support their work. But
to know the guidelines for dropping off at Dorcas? Are you familiar with that?
I do, actually. Yeah, so there are people familiar with Dorcas. They have their donation drop-off behind the building. That is currently closed, so they're not accepting community donations of goods, clothes, or other items, but they would certainly love to be held on to those donations for when they reopen. They will definitely be in demand then. It's just for staff and volunteer safety. They're not wanting to have that kind of contact. However, their food pantry is open. They have the receiving door, which is on the front of the building, and that is open from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. for anyone who can make a food donation. And they are also asking for financial donations that will help them buy the additional food they need, and they're able to buy food at wholesale prices, so the donation goes really far. You're able to do
I remember something about that. I don't know the statistic. I don't know if you would, but it's like, you know, if you buy through the agencies that can buy in bulk or at special discounted prices, you know, your dollar is really worth like $5 or $10 of what you could do at the grocery store yourself.
Yeah, and I don't know the exact number myself, but it's when you're not paying the markup, it can go a lot farther. And one thing, I don't know if this has applied to Dorcas itself, but I know Amazon has been providing food to other catering companies who are, trying to make as much food as they can for retirement assisted living facilities or low income housing areas that don't have that same kind of access, or they have that, food insecurity kind of level. So there's a lot of organizations and companies that are trying to hop on this to make sure everyone has the food they need during this time.
That's just wonderful. You mentioned about Dorcas pointing out Save It. And I think we really want to emphasize that to the listeners. This will end. And when it does, all those things that you're thinking about maybe just pitching or getting rid of, or, a lot of people are stocking up on food out of worry, yeah, and maybe you're not going to use all that applesauce you bought, or even some of the toilet paper we're all hoarding onto. So keep it and then think about donating it when all this ends. And of course, go ahead.
Sorry. It's just a good point, because there's always going to be a demand for these goods. That demand may be delayed for some period, but it will be there at some point. And it could be very great in a few months if this economic trend continues. And also, just to point out, a lot of the stores have reacted to the emergency purchasing, bulk purchasing, and saying we're not going to accept returns on toilet paper, other paper goods, and certain things that people really stocked up on. So your best bet to put it to good use is to save it and wait for these nonprofit organizations to be collecting these donations again.
That's good direction. Of course, financial donations are certainly a one-size-fits-all resource that knows no social distancing bounds. So again, what's the best way, and I know it's like by individual nonprofit, but any thoughts on the best way to tackle getting your financial support to the agencies?
Yeah, so you can all these nonprofits, they have the website. There's a donation portal on each one that you can use. Whether it's just making a one-time donation, or I know Dorcas, I've used this personally to set up, a recurring monthly donation. I know that's an attractive option for a lot of people, so it can make a bigger donation but spread it out over time, so it's a little easier on a month-to-month basis. For some of the groups we work with, we accept donations through our event sites for them. Sometimes it's just easier, or if they have a national organization with local things, it's just easier. But yeah, all these groups have an online option. You can obviously always mail in a check, or they might be able to accept, if they still have staff in the office, accept payment by phone. I think they're making every effort to make every option available to people who want to help them out. So there's always a way.
And this is certainly the time to give more than you normally would, with these nonprofits having to make up such huge gaps that they're going to be facing.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people know that the November-December kind of charity cycle is when a lot of people do their giving. Unfortunately, we're not in a place now to wait until then. A lot of these organizations need it now. One, because of the increased demand. Two, because their big fundraising events have been affected, so they're not getting that big cash infusion at this time. So, yeah, now is the time to do it. And some of these things, I know people have heard about some of these loan assistance programs that have been approved, but I know personally, I've been on the phone with banks yesterday and today. And so, but that payroll, paycheck protection program, a lot of nonprofits are going to be using that to help support their staff. But there's hope that that could be available in a couple weeks. But it could, in one conversation, a banker said it could be up to 45 days before it's possible for anyone to apply for that program. That's a long time from now. We don't know what's going to happen between now and then, how much better or worse this could get. But we do know that today there is a need. And it's, with 5 minutes, you can go online and make even a $5 or $10 donation. Like, it's at a point now, it's kind of all hands on deck. Anything will help them out. And they would certainly appreciate it.
That's a very good point, because a lot of people who give think it has to be a huge donation. And it really doesn't. It's all the $5 that add up to success.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's we found through our own thing, there are more $5 donations than, you know, $50. And so the small ones do add up. They are meaningful. And if that's what you can do, awesome. You've done what you can. And, you know, I think then hopefully people over the next few months, the need will not be as great. But you are helping these organizations help a lot of other people, and a dollar, even $1, goes a long way.
And the help is immediate, because we're seeing so many people becoming unemployed. And so what these charities were already facing has maybe doubled, tripled in some instances, because so many people may be coming to them for more help with paying rents, or maybe they're losing their home, or, you know, a lot of issues with keeping your home, paying your rent, paying your utilities. And so certainly as the unemployment increases, so do the needs of these nonprofits.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. And all these groups, they're working with, you know, the things that had already going on before this hit, now got more on top of that. It's not like they're in a place now where they can expand their staff and volunteers to meet those greater needs. You know, they're trying to do even more with what they had, or less than they had before. It's just, it's a very tough time for them. But, you know, they're very dedicated. And if you're curious, you can, all these organizations have like a newsletter that you can go and subscribe for, you know, kind of like what we're doing. And they're getting, if you're interested in an organization, you can subscribe to that and be getting their updates, seeing what their needs are as this crisis unfolds. I know Dorcas has sent out 3 emails as they've changed what they can or able to do. And all these organizations are the same. So at least subscribe to an organization. So maybe down the road, there is a specific need that you're able to help them with. And just to stay in touch with what they're doing, that's also very helpful to them as well.
Well, I think this conversation will be very helpful and provide some direction. And we like to stay positive here at Triangle 411, and I know Fit Enable does too. In fact, you are crossing your fingers your Charity Distance Festival in June makes the cut.
Yeah, so yeah, we have a Charity Distance Festival. It's an event where we invite a bunch of nonprofits to come participate. You know, not every organization can have their own race. This is one where we can help out a handful all at once. It's currently scheduled for Saturday, June 20th at Wakeman Soccer Park. Yeah, we're hoping this, we're able to get this one off as planned, but if you know any organizations that may be interested in being part of it, please let us know. But if for any reason this one is also postponed or canceled, you know, we're hoping everything's back to normal by the main running season, and that starts in September. So if you don't mind, I guess we have a few events to point out that people might want to put on their calendar, something to look forward to.
That would be great.
All help. You know, some of the groups you talked about. So, you know, starting Monday, September 7th, Labor Day, we have the Carrying Place Race for Home. It's at Cocoa Booth Amphitheater. It's one of their big 3 annual fundraising events. It's got a 5K, a 10K, and a fun mile for kids. And plus it has a fun family-oriented festival with some live performances and activities. That kicks off our big season. Then on Sunday, September 20th at Wakemed Soccer Park, we have one of our newest events. It's Pups and Pastries. This, like our January Mutts and Marshmallows race, supports the SPCA of Wake County. We're hoping this is a big one for us. Mutts and Marshmallows has always been one of our biggest events. And this is one of our events that you can bring your dog to run with you. It's a very dog-friendly event, so the whole family can run together. It's a great time, and we're hoping this new event is able to happen this year. And then Saturday, September 26th, we have the Travis Mannion Foundation 9/11 Heroes Run. The Travis Mannion Foundation, it's a national organization that serves veterans and their families. And every year on or around September 11th anniversary, they have a race in every state. And we're fortunate to stage theirs in the Triangle. And this one has a 5K running and a 5K rucking event, that's a weighted backpack type event and a festival. So, you know, we hope people will save those dates. If they're looking for other great family-friendly events that support local nonprofits, they can find our complete race calendar at fitenabledproductions.com. We're hoping, we have between Labor Day and New Year's Day, we have an event every single weekend. And they all serve or benefit one or more organizations, including some of the ones we've talked about. And I think by that time, a lot of these organizations are really going to need, some support to either catch up with what they've been doing, or, you know, hopefully not still under these same pressures that we're looking at now. But I think they're definitely going to need, want people out there for no other reason to have something positive to do and, you know, be around other people for once in a very long time.
Well, the thing I've always loved about Fit and Able is that it is family friendly. I mean, you even allow dogs and pets to come. Yeah. So that's always a cool aspect, that this can be for anybody. It's not, you know, it's not run by age or skill, et cetera. It's open to everybody. And I know folks are going to want to just get right back to it as soon as they can. And do you have any events, like in the event something opens up with all this sooner than September?
It's tough because with the summer, other than charity distance stuff, we just don't plan much for the summer because it's hot, people have vacations, and it's a tough time. A lot of events kind of event companies kind of go dormant just because there's so much other stuff going on. Mm. If we are able to do something, unfortunately, what we're able to do is during this time is completely dictated by the county, Cary, and the municipalities, with how long they keep their facilities closed to large events. We'd love to be able to do more. If there's an opportunity to do it, we can get a race up, you know, within a week or two if needed. So if a park is available, an organization comes to us and says, hey, can you do this for us? We will do everything we can to help them out, or find a place for them in one of our existing events that they can participate in. We're always ready, stand ready to talk to organizations to see if we can help them out, or at least advise them on what they can do under, you know, whatever the circumstances are.
Well, that's good to hear. So everybody get your running shoes ready. It's coming. It's coming. We promise.
Yeah. We know we're going to get back to the level of normalcy. I think the best piece of advice I have heard in the past week or so is, you know, this too shall pass. It's not here to stay. And I think we just got to, you know, bear that in mind. It's going to be rough, but there is some positivity on the way. It's just, you got to be patient and wait for that.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, Travis. I really appreciate your time, and I appreciate all you do for the nonprofits in the area.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share some of the great work these organizations are doing in these tough times.
Well, it's time to high five and say goodbye. Thanks for joining us via Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google, etc., or at our website, triangle411.buzzsprout.com. This is Mary Innsbrucker for Triangle 411. Today, ... spare some change in the world.